Live from New York, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null. Got my mojo
working, but just don't worry. Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We have a lot to talk about, including the 12 best foods for testosterone support for both men and women from Dr. Edward Group. We have the ancient herb saffron, magical healing powers confirmed by science. New research, the over-the-counter drug is linked to Alzheimer's disease, University of Washington. Chocolate significantly boosts memory, but only if you consume large amounts. Is that a problem? We'll talk about it. Also today from Colin Todhunter from Countercurrents, demonizing scientists and opponents of GMOs, the cheap propaganda, the pro-GMO lobby. It is virtually daily that I have someone attack the Seeds of Death, the documentary I produced that showed the truth about GMOs. So we respond and let people know you have a right to your opinion, but here are the facts. The GMOs are putting some AstroTurf groups, and AstroTurfing means you create a front group that is, seems like it's for the people, a populist group, but it's not. They've done this with autism. They've done it with vaccine, where the people say, you know, we want safer vaccines, but we're all pro-vaccines, and the pharmaceutical company would never have any intent to defraud us. And then you start to see how much money they can make and where they come from. So we're going to share a different perspective on what to do when you have been attacked. Also from our environmental section today, a landmark study links pesticides to high depression rates from Carolyn Wright from Wake Up World. And the mayor of Beijing had something to say about smog. Now, you remember on yesterday's program, I was talking about how a professor and his daughter picked me up when I arrived in Los Angeles to go to a lecture. And she had just returned the day before from Beijing, and she said that she had days where she could not hold her arm out in front of her and see her fingers. That's how polluted it was. Well, polluting factories and skyrocketing vehicle ownership blamed as tourism in Chinese city falls down again, and the mayor says the Beijing smog makes a city unlivable. When was the last time you heard a mayor of a major city say that it was unlivable because of the smog? But he's telling the truth. Also today, 17 medical establishment journals blindly accept blatantly fake study. We'll deal with that. And pharmaceutical corporations being sued after covering up drug risk caused boys over 1,000 to grow female breasts. And Bill Maher is giving us his perspective on Brian Williams. Okay. Like to hear it? And then I'll give you my perspective on what's being missed by Bill Maher. We have a lot to share. And if time permits, I'll also share a Cheryl Atkinson, a former major network reporter who had the truth on her side on vaccines and what happened to her because she wanted to tell the truth about autism vaccines. And she has an interesting perspective on how the media is constantly manipulated and controlled. Chocolate. Well, if there's two types of chocolate. There's healthy chocolate and unhealthy chocolate. You just have to read the label carefully. Healthy chocolate will tell you the percentage of the chocolate, where it comes from, and all the ingredients. If you start seeing sugar as the first or second ingredient, and then non-fat dry milk, and then you know that you're not eating a healthy chocolate. But if you see that it's chocolate, a high percentage, and you have natural sweeteners, then you know that you're getting a healthy chocolate. Here's the latest on this. Now, this study is the latest to suggest that chemicals in cocoa called flavanols have been beneficial on the brain. Now, flavanols are a type of chemical found naturally in cocoa beans, in blueberries, in green tea, and red wine. Other studies have shown that it enhanced memory and greater blood flow to certain areas of the brain. Now, a neurologist at Columbia University wanted to see what effect a similar regime might have on the brain. And to find out, his team instructed 19 volunteers, 50 to 69 years of age, to drink 900 milligrams of a day of powdered cocoa flavonoids, which is chocolate, mixed with water or milk. This dosage was spread over two drinks each day. Another 18 people had to drink a similar beverage that contained just 10 milligrams of the compound. Before and after the 3 months, people in both groups underwent MRI scans. Comparing the scans revealed that after the regime, the high-dose flavanol drinkers had 20% more blood flowing to a particular section of their hippocampi called the dentate gyrus than they did before. That means you've got better blood flow to the brain. And that area of the brain is linked to age-related memory. So, the takeaway message, the flavanols in really good quality chocolate helps your brain, helps your memory. And a lot of people just have too little. Now, 900 milligrams is not a lot. It's a small amount. So easily you could have 2 ounces a day. And 2 ounces a day would be in the neighborhood of around 50 more or less grams a day. It's not a lot, but it could really make a difference with your heart, with blood pressure, and now with your brain. Talking about the brain, the University of Washington, a Professor Gray in the School of Pharmacy, published an article in the Journal of the American Medical Association Internal Medicine Journal, revealed that a previously hidden link between the use of some common over-the-counter drugs and Alzheimer's, and, quote, the drugs' dangers pinpointed by the study are all part of a class of over-the-counter anti-allergy and sleep aid medications, which include Nitol and commonly used medications. The studies show that these drugs greatly increase the risk of someone developing Alzheimer's disease if used over a period of 3 years or more. So, that's not good. Now, considering that if you do have allergies, it's very easy to desensitize yourself to these common allergies by cleansing and detoxifying and staying away from the most common allergens like gluten, which is your wheat, dairy, of course, yeast foods, sugars, and go with more natural and wholesome fruits and vegetables and grains and seeds. Not difficult. And I've already given you enough information on how to have a good night's sleep, so people who continue to think that they can live an unhealthy life, and then all they have to do is just take these medications, you increase your risk of Alzheimer's. Probably the least sold herb in the United States is saffron. And that's because you get so little of it, just a tiny amount, and it's so expensive. It's the most expensive herb. But we ought to pay more attention to it because while saffron is exceedingly expensive, it takes approximately 150 flowers to yield just 1,000 milligrams, which is 1 gram, of dry saffron threads, and costs approximately $1,000 a pound. That's $1,000 a pound. So it doesn't take much to have an effect. Its uniqueness is also illustrated by the fact that it shuns mechanization, requiring that it's hand-harvested, and as it's been done for thousands of years. But then you look carefully at what does saffron do? Why would you want it in your diet? Well, Sayer G. of Wake Up World decided to take a look. And what he found was, quote, saffron has been documented to have been used as a versatile medicine since ancient times. In fact, researchers studying 3,500-year-old frescoes at Thria, a Greek island in the Aegean, found perhaps even more amazing depictions of a goddess presiding over the manufacture and use of saffron as a flower. And so it's been around a long time. What does it do? Well, it helps with cardiac, diabetic, hypertension, cerebral artery occlusion, pancreatic cancer, multiple sclerosis, psoriasis, wound healing, opiate addiction withdrawal, respiratory disease, erectile dysfunction, colorectal cancer, anxiety disorders, chemotherapy-induced liver toxicity, and dysmenorrhea, which is irregular menstrual cycles. And it has been used in all those. In fact, saffron has been shown to modulate at least 22 biological pathways. It has anti-anxiety, antidepressive, anti-proliferative, anti-inflammatory, anti-immunogenic, aphrodisiac, anti-carcinogenic, antioxidant, and all these. It's a bronchodilator. It's neuroprotective. So, one more reason why we should start to include saffron into our diet. For those of you who would like to increase your testosterone level, and a lot of men could benefit from this, because when I see men and they say, you know, take a look, they have a picture and shows up, you know, guy looking fine, healthy, athletic, and then they show you a new picture and say, this is just 3 years between these two pictures, and you start seeing diminishment of the muscle mass, the neck is getting thinner and wrinkled, the skin under the arms is showing, on the shoulders it's showing, the knees are all kind of dimply, and the guy says, and I can't get it up anymore, I don't have the energy, I don't have the enthusiasm, I don't have any motivation anymore. It's not a midlife crisis. It's not what most people think. It's more often than not, they have not paid attention to growth-stimulating hormone from exercising and testosterone, especially free testosterone. So, what can we do? And women also, you don't need a lot of testosterone. Men have 80% more testosterone than women, but women need it also for libido. So what can we do to look at whether or not something really gives us testosterone, including some folklore, whether it's legitimate or not? Let's look at the most common. Well, growing up, I was told, I'm sure many of you men were told, that eat oysters. You know, that's your best way of getting testosterone. Or, in point of fact, it's true and it's not true. 3 ounce serving of oysters contains 500% of the recommended daily allowance of zinc. It's really high in zinc, and zinc is essential to creating testosterone. Also, oysters contain D-aspartic acid and N-methyl D-aspartate. These are not commonly occurring amino acids, and studies have found fertile men possess higher concentrates of D-aspartic acid. So the answer is yes. Now, I don't recommend people eating oysters, because oysters are, well, they're like a septic system. In fact, almost all your crustaceans are. Water passes through them a lot, and the debris in the water stays in them. So it's very easy to become toxic or to get poisoned by eating oysters. But at least the myth is true. Now, what about olive oil? Because in Italy, everyone says a man's got to have olives and eat olives and drink olive oil in order to be virile. In point of fact, a recent study found men placed on a diet, including drinking olive oil, small amounts, increased testosterone levels. So that's true. So that's another folklore that actually has a scientific basis. So by having olives, which are one of nature's really good foods, and having good olive oil, make sure that it's organic, extra virgin, and look at the color. It should be darker. Because right now there's massive, massive fraud in Italy where they're selling soybean oil and disguising it as olive oil. But it's the color that you'll say, and they're doing the same thing with honey. China is flooding the American market with honey that's really not honey at all. So just buy the best. Then beans. We've been told that beans that are the basis of a plant-based diet. One point of fact, beans contain both iron and zinc, and those both contribute to creating testosterone. So that's true also. Nuts, yes, they're full of zinc and B vitamins and protein, and they create testosterone, especially almonds, Brazil nuts, cashews, walnuts, pecans, and peanuts, which is actually a legume. Garlic. All over the world, that is one of the most common testosterone and aphrodisiacs. You hear garlic. Well, it actually contains two substances, allicin and quercetin, and which both have been found to inhibit cortisol metabolism. And cortisol is often called the stress hormone, and in excess, it can slow and stop reproduction function. And allicin and quercetin reduce the impact of cortisol so the body can produce more testosterone. Again, it's true. Cruciferous vegetables, meaning your cauliflower and broccoli and kale and mustard, bok choy, watercress, they contain a chemical called indole-3-carbinol. And studies have shown that it reduces the stress within the body system and allows for more favorable testosterone production. So it's true. Red grapes, the skin of the red grape, contains resveratrol. And that's a proven aromatase inhibitor. And aromatase is an enzyme that converts testosterone and other androgens into estrogen. So consuming grapes and other sources of resveratrol supports testosterone. And pumpkin seeds are one of your best sources of zinc. They work. And figs. In the Middle East, figs are considered an aphrodisiac. And going way back throughout history, well, they're an excellent source of manganese, iron, magnesium, potassium, zinc. All of those are necessary for cardiovascular, muscular health, and hormone production. They also contain flavonoids with potent antioxidant properties. So it works. So even in folk medicine, there's truth. And finally, walnuts found to improve brain function. A good study at the University of California, the David Geffen School of Medicine, found that consuming less than a handful of walnuts daily, or about 13 grams, helped people of virtually all ages perform better on a series of 6 cognitive tests that looked at brain function. So it's important to have walnuts every day. And by the way, they contain a unique omega-3 component not found in other nuts. And it's alpha-linolenic acid, which is the plant-based omega-3, with proven heart and brain health benefits. And alpha-linolenic acid is not found in any major quantity in other nuts. So that's one more thing that can help. I'm Gary Nall. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
Thank you.
to welcome all of you. I'm Gary Knoll. Tomorrow, at this hour, I'll be doing a one-hour special with information you have not heard before, with individuals and scientists who you're not familiar with, proving beyond any shadow of a doubt that the components in vaccines are toxic, the studies that show that they cause neurological damage, including autism spectrum disorder, and that members of the medical establishment, the World Health Organization, the pharmaceutical industry have known these truths and have done everything in their power to cover it up, because we'll have one of the people who was in this meeting on the air. Not going to tell you who, but it's going to be revealing. And when we did a five-hour special last week on this, they immediately went in and crashed our site and erased over 27,000 articles. Okay, the moment they push, I'm going to push back harder. And we'll just keep providing truth, because all that the major media and the pharmaceutical industries can do is promote lies and self-interest. So tomorrow, a very powerful program with people you're not familiar with to hear truths that this audience will find revealing. You won't want to miss that. Now, that said, from Natural News, in a humorous experiment that exposes published science as a subjective mess of opinions and oftentimes deliberate deceptions, a Harvard University medical doctor has confirmed that almost anything can get published in a medical journal for the right price. From Natural News, quote, Dr. Mark Schreim, who is currently pursuing a PhD, he's an MD, he's getting his PhD in public policy at Harvard, generated a completely made-up story using the website randomtextgenerator.com, testing a hypothesis that he could get utter nonsense published in a medical journal. Inspired by the constant and annoying stream of email spam he says he receives daily, petitioning him to pay a flat rate sum, usually around $500, to have a single study published in a medical journal, Dr. Schreim decided to take some of these journals up on the offer. He manufactured a paper entitled Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, the surgical and neoplastic role of cacao extract in breakfast cereals, which is filled with five whole pages of complete gibberish. He proposed the fake study to 37 different journals, and surprisingly, 17 of them thus far have accepted. None of these journals have actually published the phony study, which opens up the nonsensical line, quote, in an intention dependent on questions on elsewhere, we betrayed possible jointure in throwing cuca. But each of them has promised to, pending receipt of the receptive processing fee. So, the takeaway message, I guess in his case, it was pay the money and you get published. But what about the journals that don't accept money to pay? Except for all the millions upon tens of millions upon hundreds of millions of dollars every year that the pharmaceutical industry pays for ads and ghostwritten stories going into our most respected medical journals. Gee whiz, wonder how much that's legitimate. A landmark study links pesticides to high depression, from Carol Ann Wright from Wake Up World, quote, globally, one person dies of suicide roughly every 40 seconds. Around the world, over 1 million people commit suicide each year, an increase of 60% over the last 4.5 decades. Incredibly, farmers have one of the highest rates of self-inflicted death. Newsweek reports that suicide for farmers in the United States is twice the average of the general population. However, this isn't just a problem in America. It's an international crisis. India has over 270,000 farmer suicides since 1995. In France, a farmer dies by suicide every 2 days. In China, farmers are killing themselves to protest the government's seizing of their land for urbanization. In Ireland, the number of suicides jumped following an unusually wet winter that resulted in trouble growing hay for animal feed. In the United Kingdom, the farmer suicide rate went up 1,000% during the outbreak of the foot and mouth disease in 2001, when the government required farmers to slaughter their animals. And in Australia, the rate is an all-time high following 2 years of drought. Although factors such as poor yield, financial stress, erratic weather, and animal disease certainly contributes to a high suicide rate in farmers, researchers are beginning to suspect another cause: exposure to pesticides. A 20-year study establishes a connection between depression and conventional farming chemicals. Quote, researchers at the National Institutes of Health completed a historic study earlier this fall which confirmed that 7 pesticides, some of which are widely used, contribute to clinical depression in farmers. Over the last 2 decades, the team interviewed 84,000 farmers and their spouses. The findings were startling. Dr. Camille, lead researcher for the study, said that 2 specific types of pesticide were responsible for the massive uptake in depression: organochlorine insecticides and fumigants. Each increased the risk of depression by an astonishing 80 to 90% respectively. So, this is something that if you're in the farming community, which I am, and you talk with farmers, you find out those using pesticides, very common. They get depressed, and then they commit suicide. Finally, from the environmental segment, Beijing smog makes city unlivable, says mayor. This is from The Guardian, from Jonathan Kamen. Beijing's mayor, Wang Amsham, has called the city unlivable because of its terrible smog. At the present time, however, Beijing is not a livable city, end quote. Well, that's not surprising. Keep in mind that you have a duality in China. On the one hand, you have revolutionary mass transit, probably the finest, most advanced in the world. And you also have advances in solar energy. But at the same time, you have an ever-growing population, the largest in the world. As a result, as they become more accustomed to what the rest of the world's cultures are offering, more food, more variety of food, more animal proteins, they want it. They don't want to live in little hovels. They want apartments and homes. They want lawns. And so the historic farming communities, the thousands upon tens of thousands of them, are simply being swept aside. Even as we speak, there's one community of over 30,000 people just a half hour from Beijing, and it's being completely uprooted because they want to build the world's largest airport there. What happens to the people is irrelevant to the Chinese government, but it's very relevant to the people. Because there, if you looked at it from a satellite, you see all these tiny little green spaces, and those were where people grow their food. They live simple lives, self-sufficient, and that's being changed everywhere, plus desertification, rechanneling water through giant dam projects. So historically, people had all the water they could use. Now they don't. So you have a divisive mind, one that is aware of the problem but is so caught up in the need to continue growing and being seen by the world as a major economic growth country that it refuses to look at the level of pollution or the consequences to its own people. Over 1 million Chinese die every year from just the pollution from burning coal in their homes. And yet they had at one time were opening up a new power plant run by coal every 2 weeks. So, yes, they have been the most spectacular growth of any country in the world in the last 30 years, but what a cost. So now, where do they get their meat? Because China is now running out of resources. So they go to countries like Africa, and they buy up huge areas of land from governments. And then they hire those government officials to work in their systems. Where we're building military bases around the world, China is a little smarter on this. They're building infrastructure projects for people. As a result, they have an enormous amount of resources. They can help people with what they need in their country. In return, they get the country gets cash, they get higher employment, but their natural resources are leaving the country and going to China. So the largest single destruction of the rainforest, and the largest rainforest in the world, is because China wants more soybeans to feed its pigs to provide pork for its people. So large amounts of rainforest are destroyed daily. That causes desertification, and massive amounts of genetically engineered soybeans are grown and then shipped off. That's also happening in Brazil. So just imagine the calculus here. In a finite world, you're trying to exceed the growth, the gross domestic product of any other country. And you have the largest population, slightly edging out India, but you have more wealthy people than India. And so what do? India's out of resources. China's out of resources. So you use your money and you go around the world and you buy from countries that still have resources and need the money. Not a good calculus. So is it any wonder that the mayor of one of the largest cities in the world says it's unlivable? Yeah. I'm Gary Noll. We're going to take a break and hear from, first we're going to hear from Cheryl Atkinson about the media, because she was a major part of it, and she had the courage to tell the truth on many issues that her colleagues would never touch.
So, consider this fictitious example that's inspired by real life. Say you're watching the news and you see a story about a new study on the cholesterol-lowering drug called Cholextra. The study says Cholextra is so effective that doctors should consider prescribing it to adults and even children who don't yet have high cholesterol. Is it too good to be true? You're smart. You decide to do some of your own research. You do a Google search. You consult social media, Facebook and Twitter. You look at Wikipedia, WebMD, a nonprofit website. And you read the original study in a peer-reviewed published medical journal. It all confirms how effective Cholextra is. You do run across a few negative comments and a potential link to cancer, but you dismiss that because medical experts call the cancer link a myth and say that those who think there is a link there are quacks and cranks and nuts. Finally, you learn that your own doctor recently attended a medical seminar. The lecture that he attended confirmed how effective Cholextra is, so he sends you off with some free samples and a prescription. You've really done your homework. But what if all isn't as it seems? What if the reality you found was false? A carefully constructed narrative by unseen special interests designed to manipulate your opinion. A Truman Show-esque alternate reality all around you. Complacency in the news media combined with incredibly powerful propaganda and publicity forces mean we sometimes get little of the truth. Special interests have unlimited time and money to figure out new ways to spin us while cloaking their role. Surreptitious astroturf methods are now more important to these interests than traditional lobbying of Congress. There's an entire industry built around it in Washington. What is astroturf? It's a perversion of grassroots, as in fake grassroots. AstroTurf is when political, corporate, or other special interests disguise themselves and publish blogs, start Facebook and Twitter accounts, publish ads, letters to the editor, or simply post comments online to try to fool you into thinking an independent or grassroots movement is speaking. The whole point of AstroTurf is to try to give the impression there's widespread support for or against an agenda when there's not. AstroTurf seeks to manipulate you into changing your opinion by making you feel as if you're an outlier when you're not. One example is the Washington Redskins name. Without taking a position on the controversy, if you simply were looking at news media coverage over the course of the past year or looking at social media, you'd probably have to conclude that most Americans find that name offensive and think it ought to be changed. But what if I told you 71% of Americans say the name should not be changed? That's more than two-thirds. AstroTurfers seek to controversialize those who disagree with them. They attack news organizations that publish stories they don't like, whistleblowers who tell the truth, politicians who dare to ask the tough questions, and journalists who have the audacity to report on all of it. Sometimes astroturfers simply shove intentionally so much confusing and conflicting information into the mix that you're left to throw up your hands and disregard all of it, including the truth. Drown out a link between a medicine and a harmful side effect, say vaccines and autism, by throwing a bunch of conflicting paid-for studies, surveys, and experts into the mix, confusing the truth beyond recognition. And then there's Wikipedia. AstroTurf's dream come true. Billed as the free encyclopedia that anyone can edit, the reality can't be more different. Anonymous Wikipedia editors control and co-opt pages on behalf of special interests. They forbid and reverse edits that go against their agenda. They skew and delete information in blatant violation of Wikipedia's own established policies with impunity, always superior to the poor schlubs who actually believe anyone can edit Wikipedia, only to discover they're barred from correcting even the simplest factual inaccuracies. Try adding a footnoted fact or correcting a fact error on one of these monitored Wikipedia pages and poof, sometimes within a matter of seconds, you'll find your edit is reversed. In 2012, famed author Philip Roth tried to correct a major fact error about the inspiration behind one of his book characters cited on a Wikipedia page. But no matter how hard he tried, Wikipedia's editors wouldn't allow it. They kept reverting the edits back to the false information. When Roth finally reached a person at Wikipedia, which was no easy task, and tried to find out what was going wrong, they told him he simply was not considered a credible source on himself. A few weeks later, there was a huge scandal when Wikipedia officials got caught offering a PR service that skewed and edited information on behalf of paid, publicity-seeking clients in utter opposition to Wikipedia's supposed policies. All of this may be why, when a medical study looked at medical conditions described on Wikipedia pages and compared it to actual peer-reviewed published research, Wikipedia contradicted medical research 90% of the time. You may never fully trust what you read on Wikipedia again, nor should you. Let's now go back to that fictitious Calextra example and all the research you did. It turns out the Facebook and Twitter accounts you found that were so positive were actually written by paid professionals hired by the drug company to promote the drug. The Wikipedia page had been monitored by an agenda editor also paid by the drug company. The drug company also arranged to optimize Google search engine results, so it was no accident that you stumbled across that positive nonprofit that had all those positive comments. The nonprofit was, of course, secretly founded and funded by the drug company. The drug company also financed that positive study and used its power of editorial control to omit any mention of cancer as a possible side effect. Once more, each and every doctor who publicly touted Calextra or called the cancer link a myth or ridiculed critics as paranoid cranks and quacks or served on the government advisory board that approved the drug, each of those doctors is actually a paid consultant for the drug company. As for your own doctor, the medical lecture he attended that had all those positive evaluations was, in fact, like many continuing medical education classes, sponsored by the drug company. And when the news reported on that positive study, it didn't mention any of that. I have tons of personal examples from real life. A couple of years ago, CBS News asked me to look into a story about a study coming out from the nonprofit National Sleep Foundation. Supposedly, this press release coming out said, "The study concluded we are a nation with an epidemic of sleeplessness and we don't even know it, and we should all go ask our doctors about it." A couple of things struck me about that. First, I recognized the phrase, "ask your doctor," as a catchphrase promoted by the pharmaceutical industry. They know that if they can get your foot through the door of the doctor's office to mention a malady, you're very likely to be prescribed the latest drug that's marketed. Second, I wondered how serious an epidemic of sleeplessness could really be if we don't even know that we have it. Right? It didn't take long for me to do a little research and discover that the National Sleep Foundation nonprofit and the study, which was actually a survey, not a study, were sponsored in part by a new drug that was about to be launched onto the market called Lunesta, a sleeping pill. I reported the study as CBS News asked, but of course I disclosed the sponsorship behind the nonprofit and the survey so that viewers could weigh the information accordingly. All the other news media reported the same survey directly off the press release as written without digging past the superficial. It later became an example written up in the Columbia Journalism Review, which quite accurately reported that only we at CBS News had bothered to do a little bit of research and disclose the conflict of interest behind this widely reported survey. So now you may be thinking, what can I do? I thought I'd done my research. What chance do I have separating fact from fiction, especially if seasoned journalists with years of experience can be so easily fooled? Well, I have a few strategies that I can tell you about to help you recognize signs of propaganda and astroturf. Once you start to know what to look for, you'll begin to recognize it everywhere. First, hallmarks of astroturf include use of inflammatory language such as crank, quack, nutty, lies, paranoid, pseudo, and conspiracy. Astroturfers often claim to debunk myths that aren't myths at all. Use of the charged language tests well. People hear something's a myth, maybe they find it on Snopes, and they instantly declare themselves too smart to fall for it. But what if the whole notion of the myth is itself a myth, and you and Snopes fell for that? Beware when interests attack an issue by controversializing or attacking the people, personalities, and organizations surrounding it rather than addressing the facts. That could be astroturf. And most of all, astroturfers tend to reserve all of their public skepticism for those exposing wrongdoing rather than the wrongdoers. In other words, instead of questioning authority, they question those who question authority. You might start to see things a little more clearly. It's kind of like taking off your glasses and wiping them and putting them back on and realizing for the first time how foggy they'd been all along. I can't resolve these issues, but I hope that I've given you some information that will at least motivate you to take off your glasses and wipe them and become a wiser consumer of information in an increasingly artificial paid-for reality.
That's Cheryl Atkinson, formerly an award-winning journalist at CBS, and the only journalist in the network who had the courage to do her homework, independent of any pressure that came from colleagues or higher-ups for self-censoring or demonizing, as was done with Anderson Cooper and others on other networks when it came to going after Dr. Andrew Wakefield. I would suggest that what she was talking about just now is absolutely true at The Nation magazine on the subject of AIDS and vaccines. Same is true, Mother Jones. In fact, the entire left right now are the ones being used to attack those who, based upon their science, reason, and insight and scholarship, have found reasons to question the safety and efficacy of vaccines. And so it's not the radical right. It is the corporate liberal establishment who are the greatest defenders of vaccines in the pharmaceutical industry. I will show that clearer tomorrow. Just a few program announcements, and we're going to open it up for your talk back. 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. First, I'm on the road. I'll be back with a whole new documentary, powerful documentary. In the interim, my office is in the process of moving. After nearly 20 years at the same location, 83rd and Broadway, we are moving to what I consider much better studios. We're building them from scratch. And so do not go for any reason to the office, because even today we're moving out. And we're moving to a temporary location for some things, permanent, because we have so much stuff to move. If anyone would like to volunteer some time to help us today, you can call and speak with John Q, who's helping to coordinate our moving. Separately, for those of you who would normally go in and see Neil at the closet, Neil will be working now for the next 4 weeks at 89th and Broadway. So you can still go and see Neil, and he has his own group of people that enjoy him. So Neil at the Closet is now 89th and Broadway on the northwest corner. And I'm now in the process of interviewing to hire two full-time nutritionists and a night manager who has experience in the health food industry. Good paying jobs, really good paying and benefits. The nutritionist, you would be working for free. You will make a salary, but you will not charge anyone. You will help people for free. So you have to have a good background. It's just that we are inundated with people who need help, and my staff is just overwhelmed, and I just keep getting these calls every day. We need help. Can you get us someone else? So if you're up for it, you'll send your information to Luann Panessi, who's on the line now. Also, because once again, we have no, we're in the process of moving our whole phone system, putting in a whole new phone system. See, so don't even bother calling today. I'll give you a different number to call. In any case, when you see the new location, you see all that we have there, you'll say, wow. Because we're also bringing back some of the Tri-State Healing Center and be able to help people in a lot of different ways. Luann Panessi's on the line. Luann, I just want to let people know, my normal audience, that to help WBAI out, the station manager asked me, would we once again do a retreat because, A, it costs them nothing, and B, they don't have to do any work. And I said, well, we can't do a two-week. It's not possible. I have to bring 20 people from all over the United States together, myself included, but I'm willing to do 1 week. So here's what we're going to do. The second Sunday of April, we're going to start and go for 1 week to help people change their lives. And before I say more, I want to have people listen to just 4 weeks ago when we did a two-week retreat. People on their last day decided to give a little feedback about what they experienced. Now, mind you, most people know what you experience when you go to, you go to a resort or you go to a spa or you go to an ashram. You have a good time. You eat your spa food. You go out. You maybe do some meditation. Maybe do some yoga. And that's about it. You know, hopefully you're in an aesthetically nice environment. You pay $5,000, $6,000, $8,000, $12,000 for that. But this is different. Personal counseling for any issue that's wrong in your life. Me lecturing every night for 2 to 3 hours, addressing issues that you will not hear any other time. Being able to do yoga, meditation, Tai Chi with some of the greatest experts flown in from around the United States. Gourmet vegan meals, unlike anything you've ever seen anywhere, by master chefs. Juicing, waking up and making sure you get your wheatgrass and ginger juice, then having your watermelon juice, and having your smoothies, and having meals, having power walks and personal exercise, de-stressing, artist therapy, gardening, hydroponics, aquaponics, homesteading. Nothing like this anywhere in the world. All for $2,000 because it's a fundraiser for this station. Here are some of the people who just exited last time.
Hello, my name is Fred. I just completed a week-long health retreat with Gary Null. Had a fantastic time in a beautiful environment. What I got out of it was the food that they had was fantastic. Vegetarian food was prepared excellently, and got a lot of ideas that I can take with me to make simple vegetarian meals. We had great power walking exercise in the morning, again with discipline and stuff, and picked up a lot of ideas and practices on living a vital, full, vibrant life. And I've done a bunch of this work, and this was second to none. I mean, they did a great job, and I look forward to incorporating a lot of the approaches and ideas in my life.
Hello, my name is Melinda, and I just spent a week at Gary's retreat, and it was a unique and extraordinary experience in a beautiful environment. I'm going to be taking home a lot of new information on how to incorporate vibrant eating habits and exercise that is fulfilling in so many ways. It was a full experience, and I'll be coming away with a lot of new information.
My name is Andrea, and I would just like to thank Mr. Gary for allowing us to see that the sky is the limit. We can go beyond our potentials in so many areas, and I'll take a lot of what I've learned, all I should say, and take it back to grow for myself, my family, And as part of his theme song, or his theme word is, as you grow, you help someone with you. So along with my family, I will make sure I have other people who can grow along the way and to help someone along the way. That is his biggest thing. Make sure you pass on it to someone who is worth the while. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ron, and I'm coming away with a bigger smile, hopefully a larger heart, a lot of information to chew on, and arm me to go out into the world with a better attitude and try to make myself and hopefully humanity a little bit better. Thank you.
I'm Pauline, and I want to thank Gary for arranging this retreat for all of us this week. It was so well balanced. The exercise was fun and yet challenging, and we were on a walking track every morning at 7 o'clock, and I didn't think I would be able to do it, but I've done it. And the spiritual aspects were just tremendously moving and yet so personal, and the lectures that Gary gave every night were eye-opening information, like he shares on his radio station. And I'm coming away challenged to do more and to start a new chapter in my life with my family and with work. It's really lifted my spirits a lot.
My name is Franny, and I had just finished a week with Gary Noll in his health retreat. The food was all vegan, and it was nothing but delicious and nutritious, and it was looking beautifully, and I'm looking forward to cooking that at home. It was a very rich learning experience with daily lectures and power walks and exercise, which made us feel good, the energy and the love we all received from this beautiful environment was incredible, and I do thank Gary for that from my heart.
Hello, my name is Susan, and this has been the most authentic thing I've ever done in my life. I really want to thank Gary for everything he's done. I'm a chef by trade, but the whole world of veganism, which I've dabbled in before, has been pretty bland to me, and this has opened up my eyes. I have not been hungry. I have not lacked anything or have any cravings for any of the regular food that I normally eat. The amount of reflective time as well as interactive time with other people and the programs has been just outstanding. And I want to say that the animals have been awesome here, as well as looking up and seeing vast amounts of sky in varying shapes and colors. And thank you for my life.
Hello, my name is Sandor, and this is the second time I spend a week at Gary Noll's, and I call this an experience. And I could express this experience in two words: people and education. And I don't know any place where you could get better people and more education than this Gary Noll experience was for me. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Thomasina. I've been privileged this week to be at this retreat with my husband because of the hospitality of Gary Noll and his generosity in providing all of us with the most wonderful experience, all of us retreaters. We've had food that none of us can stop talking about. We can't stop eating it either. And we've enjoyed exercise, meditation, some of the most heady conversations and seminars, wonderful discussions, and Gary's lectures, which are also very heady and wonderful. And we've made, I think, lifelong friends. Thank you. Thank you, Gary.
Hello, I'm KB, and I cannot put into words the amazing and wonderful experience here at Gary Noll's retreat. I came here physically debilitated and
today, I feel 90% better. I'm able to do what I could not do before. I have participated in a race that I never imagined I would have been able to take part in. I would have never had the courage had I not come. I've learned so much, and now I want to be a viable part of my community as a result of the information I've gotten here. This is better than any vacation I could have ever taken anywhere in the world, and I've traveled the world. Now I know that life is about living, and I've learned how to do so here at this retreat. Thank you.
My husband asked me to say some things about his experiences here at the retreat this week. He wants to tell you that 5 years ago he was afflicted with a very devastating disease, and he hung up his tennis racket and his running shoes. Sorry. Last year he was diagnosed with Lyme disease, and when we arrived at the retreat, he really felt that he could hardly do the first day one lap plus three laps on the running track. But during the course of this week, he's gone from that to doing 18 laps today without trouble, and he's played tennis twice, and he's never felt better in his life or in 5 years. It's been a magic bullet, though he didn't think there was a magic bullet.
My name is Jack.
Well, we're nearly at the end of the program. So you see, there are vacations, there are getaways, there are wonderful places to go and enjoy yourself. And then there's life-transforming moments. When I tell you that people transform their life, it is not an exaggeration. You've heard some of these people. You didn't hear all of them, but the ones you heard, you could hear it in their voice. I want to see more people benefit. I want to see more people de-stressed, people with depression, anxiety, people going through crisis in their life, have an opportunity to be in a loving environment, a non-judgmental environment, that helps open a door and gives them the tools they need to better their life, to live a longer life, a healthier life, a happier life. That's what this retreat will do. That's what it does. That's why I do it. That's why I volunteer my time. So if you'd like to help WBAI, our sister station, and during its stressful to the station financial time right now, you can call Luann Panessi, and for $2,000, which is as low as it can humanly be, because that has to include all the food and the hotels, and as you can imagine, other places are charging 2 to 3 times that amount. But because so many people are donating their time, that's the only reason we're able to do it. Even then, it doesn't always match, and I kick in whatever is necessary to pay the bills. So come and join us starting the second week of April, second Sunday of April, for 1 week. Luann, give them your number, please.
Surely. It's 631-504-6198. That's 631-504-6198. I've been getting a lot of calls, and I interview everyone, Gary. So if you get the answering machine, just leave your name and your number, say you're interested in the retreat, and I will get back to you within 48 hours. I just got a letter today in the mail from a mother and daughter who came together, and from Chicago. And they said, thank you for the transformative week. And she was just amazed at the experience that she had, and she brought it home with her. She continues to lose weight. She feels great. She started her own little walking group in Chicago. So really, just what they all said, you couldn't put it better.
Well, the idea is that a lot of people are in crisis. A lot of people need to de-stress. A lot of people are looking for what will be the next chapter in their life. And almost everybody masters something and perfects something, but it doesn't mean that what they've mastered and perfected and been diligent and disciplined in is their authentic self. More often than not, we've done what other people expected of us. We've lived through other people's needs. And this is a time to get our own needs in order and live through our own authentic self. Anyhow, it's a one-week retreat, and it's going to be wonderful. The food, the juices, the detoxing, the de-stressing, the artist healing, the nature, the eagles, the swans on the lake, there's some, the power walks, the horses in the fields. I cannot describe it. There's nothing else like it in America. It's a one-of-a-kind experience, and it's $2,000. A lot of money? Yes. But compared to what if we're going to be spending money, and what do we get for it? Ask yourself, is it worth it? Call that number again, because we're going to fill up. Every time we do it, we fill up when we're raising money for BAI. Luann, your number one more time.
Yes, 631-504-6198. That's 631-504-6198.
Thank you. And I want to thank all of you for listening, and especially for a Progressive Radio Network audience. Remember, our office is now closed until we open the new office, which will be spectacular. You'll meet Neil at the Closet, well, no longer at 83rd and Broadway, but at 89th and Broadway. All right? And I am hiring nutritionists. I'm hiring a night manager. You can call the same number for Luann and leave that information with her. And if you want to help us move today and tomorrow, John Q is going to coordinate all that. And you can call John Q if you want to help move. Do you have John Q? No, John Q's number is 646-696-4841. 646-696-4841. Have a nice day, everyone.